I love Google Maps. I can't imagine how I would get anywhere without Google Maps. I think if I'd been driving in the days before sat navs, I simply wouldn't have been able to cope, and that is not an exaggeration. Some people are great with real maps. My wife, Kath, who was on the keyboard this morning, went to a conference once with Liz Matthews, Liz doing the driving. Before they left, Liz opened up her atlas, spent a few minutes looking at the route, closed it, put it down, and didn't need to look at it again until they'd arrived, over 2 hours later, somewhere she'd never been before. That is a skill that I am simply in awe of, because I, unlike Liz, am really, really good at getting lost. One of my bachelor parties a couple of years ago now, Dan and I and a few of our friends went to a convention for the weekend. We arrived together, this big convention center, and we went in through the doors into this massive, great big space full of people and stalls and tables. And I entered about half a step behind Dan. So he assumed, as you would, that I was fairly close by. Imagine his surprise then when he turned around about 30 seconds after we'd entered, and I had gone, vanished. Like a small child in a toy shop, I had just wandered off and disappeared entirely from view. It's probably my lifetime record of how fast I've gotten myself lost. It's also very easy for us to get lost in what is now the final stretch of the run-up to Christmas. Not physically, although if you find yourselves in Cheshire Oaks on Christmas Eve, that might be the case, but spiritually. Christmas and the time around it can be full of both worries and excitement. You're excited about the presents you're going to get, or you're worried that your step-uncle-in-law, who you've seen twice in the last decade and is coming for Christmas dinner, will like the socks you bought him. You're excited to eat yourself into a coma come Christmas Day, or you're worried that you'll get everything cooked properly, as it's the first time you've done a Christmas dinner. That's me this year. Excited about seeing all the family, or worried about the long, dark, 5-hour drive ahead of you on Christmas Eve? I could keep going, but you get the idea. We're coming to the end of our journey to Christmas. There's only 3 days left. Our journey through Advent and to the stable, to the manger, and to the baby Jesus. But with everything that's going on, with all these other emotions and things crowding in on us and vying for our attention, it's very easy to get lost on that journey. It's easy to get sidetracked and to lose sight of our destination. How then can we keep focused on Jesus and keep our eyes on him on the final leg of our Advent journey? Today, on the fourth and final Sunday in Advent, we're finishing our sermon series looking at the journeys of different characters in the Christmas story. And our theme today is journeying to Jesus. Simeon is someone who also journeyed to Jesus, and I want to see what we can learn from his story. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35, which I'll read. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon, we read, was a faithful Jew. He was righteous and devout, righteous towards man and devout towards God, as Matthew Henry puts it. He loved God, and he was eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel. This means he was waiting for God to turn back to his people Israel, as they had turned away from him, and so as punishment had been scattered and were now under Roman rule. The phrase likely comes from passages like Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Israel was waiting for God to turn away from his anger, to turn towards them, and to redeem them. And this was expected to be through the coming of the Messiah, God's chosen one, who was prophesied about by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and other Old Testament prophets. Simeon was waiting for the Messiah, or in Greek, the Christ. And God had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he'd seen him. This, then, was Simeon's journey to Jesus. A journey in time, very much like ours as we wait for Advent. A journey until God revealed Christ to him. And the scene is set in the verses before our passage, with Mary and Joseph going to Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice required by the law for Mary's purification after the birth. The Holy Spirit prompts Simeon, and so he makes his way to the temple. This itself is important. If we're attentive to the Spirit and willing to follow his prompts, he will always draw us to, and in many cases, he'll be drawing us back to Jesus. This is one of the Spirit's main roles. It's what he does. He points us to Jesus. When Simeon reaches the temple courts, he's overjoyed to see the baby. He picks him up and sings to him the song which we now call Nunc Dimittis. It's Latin for now dismiss, the first words of the song. And it's actually a really, really important passage in Scripture. Since the Book of Common Prayer was published in 1549, it's been sung at nearly every single evensong service that has been held at a Church of England church. The only other passage in the Bible that is always included is the Magnificat, the song sung by Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this is because it's both a fitting prayer for the end of the day, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. But it's also a beautiful and articulate drawing together of the promises of God in the Old Testament and their fulfillment in Jesus in the New Testament. It bridges the 400-year gap between old and new and acknowledges Jesus as the long-awaited Savior of mankind. It's short, but it's very rich. So I'll read it to you again. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you had prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This is Simeon's immediate heart response to seeing Jesus. Here, Simeon has come to the end of his journey to Jesus. So I want to see what he's discovered that can help us as we finish ours. God had promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah, see Jesus before he died. Now here he is with Christ in his arms and God's promise to him fulfilled. And his response is a bold one. He says, I paraphrase here, now, God, that I've seen your Holy One, your chosen one who will redeem your people as you promised, now, Lord, let me die. I've seen what I desired to see, and so there is no more reason for me to stay. Dismiss me, Lord, as you promised, and send me home to you. Simeon isn't afraid of death because he's seen God's salvation. The Savior is here. Death has no more power. His eyes weren't satisfied with seeing until he'd laid eyes on Jesus. But now they are. How poor must the rest of the world look to him now that he's seen the Christ? Looking upon Jesus, he sings that he's seen God's salvation. But this is just a baby. Jesus hasn't died on the cross yet, hasn't paid for our sins yet, hasn't redeemed Israel yet. He's barely a month old. You could say that salvation is coming, but Simeon says it's already here. How do we explain that? The prophet Daniel in the Old Testament calls Jesus the everlasting king with an everlasting kingdom. And we were just singing that he's the king of kings. Now, a king is a king, no matter their age. Nothing Jesus does qualifies him to be the king of kings. The only qualification he needs is his heritage and his personhood. Similarly, he was and is and always will be the Christ, God's chosen one. Again, this is who he is. It's his identity. It's a title that is bestowed, not earned. Just like we sing begotten, not created at Christmas. Even as a baby, Jesus was the Messiah, was the Savior. He was both a sign that God's promises would be fulfilled, and he was the fulfillment of those promises in himself. Simeon knew this. He knew that in Jesus' birth, the Son of Righteousness had dawned, a shining, majestic light, which, as he sings, will be both a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, as God reveals himself to them in Jesus, and a light that would be the glory and honor of Israel, his chosen people, as from them came God's chosen Savior. The universalism of God's salvation that's seen in the prophecies of the Old Testament, that God will save not just the Jews, but the non-Jews as well, is echoed here by Simeon, something that wasn't widely believed in his day. He acknowledges that God is truly the God of all humankind, and that his grace is for everyone, including you and me. And that this baby in his arms is God's salvation for us all. So what can we learn from Simeon about finishing our journey well? I think there are 2 points. First, we learn that we aren't satisfied until we've seen Jesus, until we look upon him. There are so many other things going on around us this time of year. So many treats and TV shows, movies and games to distract. But the season feels empty and unfulfilled until we look upon Jesus in the manger. All the other things, the lights, decorations, food and presents, even the company of friends and family, they can't satisfy our souls. But Jesus can. Come Christmas Day, we'd do well to remember that. Also, Simeon shows us that salvation is found in the child in the manger. We know that Jesus' journey hasn't finished at Christmas time. It's barely begun. After the stable comes 30 years of living, then 3 years of working and spreading the message of the gospel and the coming kingdom of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, and preaching the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Then on Good Friday comes the cross, where Jesus died for us all and won the final victory over sin, where he won our salvation. And finally, on Easter Sunday, comes the empty tomb that he leaves behind after defeating death and rising to life again, gaining for us everlasting life in and with him. This is the gospel of Christ, that he has won for us forgiveness for our wrongs, a relationship with our loving Father, an eternal life if we accept it and accept his sacrifice for us. All this is still to come when Jesus is lying in Simeon's arms. But Simeon can see it already, calling the baby God's salvation, your salvation. And this is because Simeon looked at the child and he saw the cross. When we look at the nativity scene this year and look at the baby Jesus, whom we'll place there on Christmas Day, may we also see the cross. Because the baby is the everlasting King. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Just as much as the man hanging on the cross is, or the man striding out of the empty tomb. And he is our salvation. We're on the final stretch of our journey to Jesus, which will end for us on Wednesday morning. There are a lot of distractions on the way, and we can easily get lost. But we know that our souls won't be satisfied until we look upon Jesus this Christmas. So, please, take a bit of time out this year and give yourself some space to look upon and to worship the child in the manger. And as we look at the crib, let us also, as Simeon did, see the cross and see our salvation, our new life bought with his blood. As the writer of Hebrews puts it, let us fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we wait until that time, rejoice, because the light of the Gentiles and the glory of Israel, the candle that will light on Christmas Day, the sun of righteousness, is about to dawn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Christmas story. I thank you that you sent Jesus here to live for us, to die for us, to open our eyes to you and to open the gates of heaven. Help us remember that when we see the child in the manger, when we sit down to our Christmas dinner and Christmas films. Jesus, would you be real to us this Christmas? Not some fairy tale, but would you be our Savior? I thank you, Lord. I pray you'll be with us this year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.